Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. LGBTQ representation in the media has been gaining significant ground in recent years on TV shows such as Orange is the New Black, Transparent, Modern Family, and with the very public spotlight on Caitlyn Jenner. However, while representation grows, it does not cover the full spectrum of the LGBTQ culture.
Emmett Lundberg is an author and filmmaker with Milwaukee roots, and he was longing to see his own story of being a transmasculine male represented, and so he developed the web series Brothers to represent that population and its own diverse experiences.
The series follows four transmasculine friends, Jack, who is played by Lundberg himself, Davin, Aiden, and Max, in their daily lives, the ups and downs, and what it means to live as a transgender individual in urban society today.
Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with Emmett Lundberg about the series, the filmmaking process, and the issues and challenges transgender people face in America today, which the series brings to light.
I created this series originally because I really wanted to see more trans masculine content. There's not a lot out there. We're at a point where there's starting to be a lot more trans women represented in media, and it's still lacking for trans men. So I wanted to see that side of the spectrum represented, and I wanted to see my own experience reflected in a show that I could relate to.
And do you find that independent series and movies are the best way to tell LGBTQ stories more authentically? Because as you've mentioned, we're getting a little more visibility with trans women. There's a Transparent, the Amazon series.
Mm-hmm.
There's been Trans America or trans characters in other films and movies.
Yeah.
But when it comes to TV series that really go in depth for characters, you know, with films, you have these characters for a set amount of time, but with series, you really delve into it a little more. So is that why you chose to do this? And also, why is it in a format where each episode is about less than 10 minutes? So what kind of story arc are you building with that format?
The format has a lot to do with not only being able to produce a certain amount, you know, because of funds, we're limited to kind of less than we'd like to. The ultimate goal is to have them be 30 minutes and, you know, be on a network, be on Netflix, on Amazon, something like that. But this is the content that we're able to produce. And I think based on this group of friends, it lent itself to being told as a series as opposed to a film. It made much more sense. There was much more room for the guys to grow, to kind of see all the story arcs, to even explore new ones. The second season is going to have a lot of new characters. And a series really allows us to do that.
How do you think your series is offering an alternative narrative and better representation of transmasculine males in a scripted series?
I think that Brothers, at least what I tried to do, was show kind of different levels of transition, people in different places, you know? Not everyone is at the same place in their transition. Not everyone wants to do the same things in their transition, and it doesn't mean the same thing to everyone. So what I really wanted to do was show that the trans masculine experience is different for each person, and that doesn't mean that they're any less trans than someone else.
So give us some examples of the different transitions compared to these four characters.
Mm-hmm.
Explain some of the trials trans people go through medically, personally. The series, it opens with a really good shot that I liked of just the daily life of Jack and taking hormones and all these things, you know, normalizing the daily process, the daily lives of these people. So what are the things you're trying to highlight through these different characters and their different stages of their lives?
Yeah, I really wanted to show, like you were saying, that normalization of being trans, because it's just one facet of who these characters are, and it's a facet of who I am. It's a facet of, you know, trans people. It's not our entire life. It's not our entire experience. And I think to show, you know, taking the hormones and having trouble with IDs and that type of thing is really showing people that we deal with these things on a daily basis, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end of the world. Like, you know, we learn to deal with these things, and they're frustrating and they're annoying. And sometimes, you know, I have to say, I come from an experience that is very privileged. And I know that and I acknowledge that. So, you know, I'm lucky that I haven't had to deal with perhaps some of the stuff that other trans people have had to face in terms of violence, discrimination, that type of thing. But I want to show from my own experience what it means to live as a trans person and what it's like just day to day.
So let's go into your background a little bit. You're from the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mentioned that you think you've come from a privileged background. So what's your experience of being a trans male?
Well, yeah, so I'm from Milwaukee. I grew up in Menominee Falls. I went to the Milwaukee High School of the Arts, and I went off to NYU. That was the only school I applied to. I knew I wanted to go to New York, so I went at the time while I was in high school, and actually when I was at NYU, I was still identifying as a lesbian. And then a few years after, I started to think about it probably towards the end of my college career. I started to realize what being trans meant, what the words even transgender meant, you know, because I didn't feel like I had any experience with that word growing up. I don't think it was like in my vocabulary and I didn't know what it was. So when I realized what it meant, I kind of got this fascination with it and I looked up everything I possibly could and it really made sense to me, even though it still took me a good, I would say, 5 or 6 years after that to come to terms with it and to say this is who I am and I want to take medical steps to feel more comfortable in my body. And, you know, being in New York, I was able to go to an LGBT clinic. So they recognized my gender identity. They always used the correct pronouns. I was able to have access to hormones basically as soon as I wanted them, which is kind of unheard of, you know, for people in other states. I also really had a lot of support from my friends and family. So not that my story is uncommon. I think people do have that story. But I think there is also the other side of it where, you know, it's people lose their family, they lose their friends, and they don't have access to what they need to have access to feel like who they are.
And with your experience growing up here and then traveling from here in New York in your current life, how do you see the differences in LGBTQ communities or even resources in Milwaukee compared to New York? And is that part of why you stay in New York now too?
I mean, I definitely think it's something that keeps me there, having that access to – because, you know, taking hormones is something I'm going to have to do for the rest of my life. So until I think the rest of the country kind of catches up, it's not going to be at the same level. I don't have a lot of experience with the community here, so I can't speak to it totally. But I'm sure there is a difference, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or even just in resources as well.
Yeah.
Have you noticed more positive changes as you've come back to Milwaukee and you're here for a couple events in the upcoming week as well?
So far, it seems like people have responded really well to just having these events here. I like to think that maybe that does mean, you know, there's progress being made and that people are opening their minds a little bit.
And with your series Brothers, did you have any difficulties finding trans actors? Because obviously the show is about being authentic and, of mm-hmm. course, having trans actors is a massive help.
Yes.
And it brings a whole other dynamic to these characters, you know, subtly or through the actors portraying these. So did you have people that you knew that was immediately like, yes, I want this as a passion project?
No. We cast everyone, so I didn't know anyone in the show prior to doing the show. And it was difficult to cast trans actors. We didn't have a lot of response when we first set out to do it because no one knew who we were. So, you know, we did a casting call. We saw a few people, and I said, these people I think can really grow into these roles and kind of work with us. And they were really, really wanted to be a part of the project. And like you're saying, it adds a level of authenticity that I think is not there. Not that a cisgender person could not play a trans actor, but I think that there's that life experience of living as a trans person and playing a trans character, which was really important to me and for the show as well. In terms of bringing on crew, I think it was pretty, you know, we were lucky. We had a lot of people, very talented people, who wanted to be a part of it. my producer Sham came on, and she's the one who really helped kind of bring it all together, figure out what we needed to do. We decided to do an Indiegogo campaign for the first season. We raised about a quarter of what we were asking for, and so we were able to make the show, but we weren't able to pay anyone. So season two, we want to do it the right way. We want to pay everyone. We really want to do it as, you know, a full production.
What made you want to go beyond creating this show and going in front of the camera?
I think originally it was logistics. The guy who shot it, the DP, is my roommate. And so that scene in the pilot where I'm in the bathroom and I'm giving myself a shot, it was really me doing my morning shot on a Friday morning. And it was at like 5 in the morning before both of us went to work. So it kind of made sense that we did that I was the main character. It was a lot less scheduling. And after doing it, I had a lot of fun. You know, I really enjoyed being in front of the camera. So I'm looking forward to doing that more this season and letting other people do more behind the camera.
In the Brothers series, you touched upon including everyday experiences that makes trans life authentic in this representation. What more did you touch upon or go more in depth in the book that you co-edited and contribute to called Finding Masculinity, Female to Male Transition in Adulthood?
So the book Finding Masculinity is really about kind of these experiences of transition after you've established yourself as an adult. We tried to get, you know, we have some younger people, but most of the people in the book are 25 and older. So, you know, it means something different to start transitioning once you have a career, you maybe have a partner, or you have, you know, established, you have your life established, basically. You have to navigate different things. So the book really explores that in several different sections. We talk about transitioning on the job. We talk about transitioning through and in relationships. We talk about kind of family dynamics, medical community, what it also means to have to educate the medical community, which, I mean, that could be a whole book in itself, you know, trying to navigate your own transition while educating the people who are supposed to be helping you along the path, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, for the whole LGBTQ community,
yes,
I'd
yes,
say.
Yes.
It's a whole other field of research that should be
yes.
opened up in a new med school class, if anything.
Yes.
Does this book include firsthand account stories? Is it part narrative and informational? What is the structure like?
The structure is all essays. So we have 13 different contributors and two co-editors, myself and my co-editor, Alex Walker. And it's really all of our own personal journeys, our stories. We each contributed to several different sections based on what our experience had been.
With the show, do you draw upon your own personal experiences, you and your fellow actors, or have you created characters and created these situations for them?
With the show, a lot of it was inspired by my own experience and things that I know other guys have gone through. But the cool thing about it is, you know, after having these actors, it kind of allows them to grow into the role and the character grows as they do as well. So it kind of, after meeting them, it helps me actually write the characters better.
What are your hopes for season two? There is one teaser episode out.
There is, yeah.
And it, you know, goes more into one specific character, Max. More developments, more personal, and in a format of a web series that's less than 10 minutes, it really leaves the audience hanging,
I
suppose you could say. Because you have a limited amount of time. So what efforts are you doing now to make season two happen?
Well, we are currently talking to investors. We are considering doing another fundraiser. You know, we'd prefer not to, but if we have to, we'll do that. Season two is really, as you were saying, it's kind of character-based. Each episode is going to focus on a character so that we can get more in touch with who each of these guys are. And I really would love to be able to make season two and get the funds to make season two, because I think that we've all grown a lot since the first season. You know, we got a lot of good response from the first season, but as an artist, it's sometimes actually hard for me to look back and see what's out there. You know, it's in the public eye, and I know that people are watching it, people are making their own judgments, whatever. But I really want to be able to make season two and show that I can make a really great TV show.
What kind of response have you gotten so far with the first season?
It was actually a lot more than I ever expected. You know, we got a lot of great press. People contact us still all the time. Guys contact us, reaching out to us, emailing us on social media, just saying, I really related to this, or thank you for making this show. It's like, it means so much to me to be able to see myself, which is the reason I did it in the first place. And that is something that can never be, like, I mean, I could be paid however much to make the show, but that is never going to be something that could be comparable, you know?
So what are you keeping in mind as you move forward to keep this authentic, and what message do you ultimately want to send out to all audience members?
I mean, I think ultimately I just want to make a great show, and I want to make something that people really want to watch. And the fact that it follows these trans guys is kind of secondary to me. I know that a lot of people see it in another way. They see it as this, you know, you were saying before, it's educational and kind of sheds light on this experience that isn't really known in the public eye. But I would just love to be able to make a show that anyone would want to watch, you know, no matter what their experience. And if they learn something along the way, that'd be great.
Well, I wish you the best of luck in continuing the series. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Milwaukee area native Emmett Lundberg is an author and filmmaker. His newest series, Brothers, is available online. The full series will also screen at the River West Public House on August 18th. Lundberg has co-edited and contributed to the book Finding Masculinity, Female to Male Transition in Adulthood, which is out now. He spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.